dick.
BSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Welcome back in hour number two of the program here on Monday morning, on Martin Luther King Jr. Day, on the inauguration day, the second inauguration of Donald Trump, and taking a look. So I was talking about what Channel 6 was doing this morning, how they were doing the news from outside in the snow, and not to be outdone, Channel 12, because I switch over to Channel 12 at 7 a.m. because Channel 6 goes to Good Morning America, and I want to keep an eye on local stuff. And not to be outdone, they've got one of their reporters driving around in a car. I mean, he's not the one driving, but they're in the car going around, and he's broadcasting from the car. So technology is great, right? We can make a way bigger deal out of 3 inches of snow than we ever have before, I guess. So and as somebody who despises all snow, and I started to see it on social media on Friday, Saturday morning. Oh, I can't wait. It's going to snow. Oh, it's going to be so great. The snow is coming on. Yeah, of course, because you get to stay home. You don't have to go out and shovel or clear off a car or drive down the road or any of that. But anyway, it's not that bad out there. In fact, I'm seeing a lot of cars drive by on Sconica Neck Road. As if, you know, it's a regular day, but maybe take it a little bit slow because there is a layer of ice in spots. But they did a great job staying ahead of this, salting the roads or sanding the roads and making sure that we can get to where we're going if we have to go somewhere today. But a lot of people don't. But Mary called in the last hour asking why she can't get any sand anywhere. And as I pointed out, you know, when there's a parking ban, the city has a press release that they put out. And it's the same press release every time. Nothing ever changes. It's like when they're doing mosquito spraying. It's the same press release that they put out. Nothing really changes. But in that press release, it always mentions, you know, what the parking ban is, where there's parking allowed for people that need to get off the street. And also has information about where to get sand. But because there was no parking ban, they didn't put that release out. I don't know if that means that they only put the sand out when there is a parking ban. I can try to email over to the city spokesperson, Jonathan Darling, and find out, but I'm going to guess he's off because it's a holiday. But maybe if one of the city councilors is listening and they know the answer to that, they can let us know. Perhaps they just hadn't gotten it out yet. And perhaps the thinking is, and you can debate me on this if you want to. I don't really have a position either way. But maybe the thinking is, why do we have to keep putting sand out for people? Go get your own rock salt. Now, there's a lot of people in neighborhoods that don't have access to get rock salt. They don't drive. The local stores don't carry it. They can't afford it if they did. And in New Bedford, you are responsible for clearing the sidewalk in front of your home. And we know when there's a significant snowstorm how hard it is for them to get out and be able to plow all the roads before people want to start leaving, just because there's so many places to plow. So I'm not saying that that's the right approach, but I'm just saying that maybe that's part of the thinking is, We need to start weaning people off the expectation that there's going to be sand for them. Or you can say, hey, A, we're taxpayers. We want to have our sand. And B, how hard is it to get sand? We have beaches. Now, of course, you can't keep taking sand from the beaches all the time, but it all ends up back there anyway. So how do you feel about that? I would never, I mean, I have the means to be able to go out and purchase a bag of, I get like the ice melt stuff. Because it doesn't tear up the driveway, doesn't tear up the sidewalk, and it works better. Sand gives you traction. Salt will melt the snow, but this ice melt stuff will heat up. And what I like about it is if I go out there and do it once, I don't have to go back out there and do it again. Unless, you know, obviously if it's windy. But when I had my driveway on a hill, that's what I would do. I'd go out there and clear the whole driveway, and then I would lay a thick layer of that ice melt down and hope that that would keep me going. My biggest problem was that the plows would come by and they would just run over everything that I had done and push all the snow back at the end of my driveway. They can't help it. They don't mean to do it. But then that would make it so that I'd have like an ice wall by the time I went down. I wouldn't be able to pull out of the driveway. And if my neighbor across the street happened to be out plowing, he might come over and knock it down knowing I got to leave. But that's only because he would show up at the diner and want breakfast. And he knew that if I couldn't get out, he wasn't getting breakfast. So he was a nice guy, but I think it was also a little bit self-motivated too. But anyway, hopefully that's not too much of an issue today, again, with the holiday and the fact that it wasn't a lot of snow, but there's the potential for a lot of ice out there. So keep that in mind. And dress warmly. It is pretty cold, but it's only going to get colder as the week goes on. Check out the article that Barry has at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app about the last time the inauguration was indoors. As we've been hearing people say, that was 40 years ago. And 40 years ago, New Bedford High's marching band was supposed to be playing the inauguration, but they could not once it got moved indoors. And it'll be really interesting to see, you know, who is involved in the inauguration since it will be indoors. Who has a seat inside? Obviously, you know, lawmakers, although some have said they're not going to go. Nancy Pelosi, of course, said she's not going to attend. They asked Jake Auchincloss yesterday on WCVB's On the Record, and he said that he would be there. He said that he would go there no matter who the president was because it's part of the democratic process. But I'm sure you'll have a lot of folks that don't go. But will you see, I mean, you're going to see Elon Musk there, but are you going to see Mark Zuckerberg there? Are you going to see Jeff Bezos there? After Joe Biden warned us of the oligarchy. And I think it didn't take much to see this weekend with the whole TikTok fraud that there's going to be a lot of influence here between the administration and the billionaire class. And I'm starting to wonder, was the first 4 years to convince you that it would be all about you so that you could get another 4 years where it could be all about them? I don't know, but in less than 5 hours, I'm counting on walking across the street and getting a dozen eggs for a dollar and getting gas for a buck and, right, all that's going to start happening, right? Okay, fine. We're going to give them a little time to sign an executive order. So by tomorrow morning, right, I'll be able to get cheap eggs and, oh, no, wait, there's still bird flu happening? Oh, that's why the egg prices are up? It has nothing to do with Joe Biden? And speaking of which, they found a goose on the Billington Sea in Plymouth. Billington Sea is a pond in Plymouth. And they found a goose on the ice there that was deceased. And while they have not confirmed it, it seems that all signs are indicating that this goose had the bird flu that's going around. And the lab that there's one lab in the country that can test for this. And obviously they're backed up with test samples. So they basically have told Plymouth officials to operate as if it does have bird flu. So keep an eye out. There's probably going to be more deceased birds around. And if you find them, alert animal control or the local health authorities, because they're going to want to test them to see if they, or at least, you know, get the test in the queue to see if they have the avian flu. And that's why your egg prices went up. Because they were down. I bought a dozen eggs on New Year's Eve. And what did I pay? $2.99 for a dozen eggs, which, as far as I remember, that was like the regular price. I buy the brown eggs because brown eggs are local eggs and local eggs are fresh. I just remember the jingle. I buy them anyway because, I don't know, I find it might just be my own weird thing, but I tend to find that the brown ones don't break in the cases often. But we're going to get, the eggs are going to drop down to a buck, right? Gas going to drop down to a buck, right? As I mentioned this morning, I was going to try to, you know, just focus on the historical nature of the day, of it being inauguration day. And I wasn't planning on reminding you that there are now only 1,461 days left in which Donald Trump is relevant. But then the whole TikTok thing happened over the weekend. The whole work, as we call it in pro wrestling. You all got worked. They took the app down when they didn't need to. Well, they needed to take it out of the app stores, but they didn't need to disable the app. ByteDance did not have to do that. And in fact, they weren't expected to do that. But they did it anyway, ahead of when they needed to do it, with a note saying and thanking President Trump for trying to reach a solution, and then reinstating it about 12 hours later with a note thanking President Trump for looking into a solution. The whole thing was a work. The whole thing was designed to make him look like the hero to all the millions of young people that were upset that TikTok was gone, and it's going to backfire. It's going to backfire big time because most people have seen right through it. And by the way, if you were one of those folks that was going on to other people's posts who were upset about TikTok getting closed down, and you went in with the, who cares? Obviously, a lot of people cared. Don't come in and try to be the edgelord and try to act like, oh, well, you're just a bunch of mindless sheep that care about an app. Because it's starting to shape up to be something that's a lot more concerning than just not being able to watch some fun videos. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Good morning. I thought you were going to stay away from politics this morning.
I never said that.
Oh, no. All right. How you feeling?
Feeling fine. A little chilly, but other than that, doing good. How about you?
Yeah, I'm doing all right. Today's a good day. I did my little dance this morning. You know, it's going to be a good day. This tech oligarchy thing that Joe Biden brought up, that is an interesting thing because I think that it has more to do with context than anything else. If you look at like Google and the troubles that they've had about data mining, about, you know, being invasive and this and that, they've been going at it for years. So, you know, and then if you look at the definition of a lobbyist, those are the lobbies. Those people own a lot of these politicians that are in Washington, D.C. And it's, again, Google, you know, they don't care. They got plenty of money. They do whatever the heck they want to because they own the politicians in a great way, you know.
And
so I think
they also control the delivery of information for a lot of people as well.
Right, exactly. So there's your oligarchy. So when when politicians say things, you kind of have to, like, you don't just take it at face value, but look at, you know, look at the rest of the story to what they're saying. I think with Trump, and I think you're bothered by it, there's a lot of braggadocio there. There's a lot of hyperbole, and, you know, he's a New Yorker. I'm more concerned about what he will do and what he's able to accomplish. I know that a lot of politicians will come out and they'll say whatever they think you want them to say in order to get themselves elected. But, you know, they can't always deliver, or they won't always deliver on every single thing that they say that they're going to deliver.
It sounds to me like you're already hedging it for when he doesn't deliver on these things, for you to be able to come back and say, well, you know, you can't expect him to get to everything. I mean, if you voted for him based on the things that he was promising, shouldn't you expect him to do all the things that he promised?
Well, you could say that about George Bush. You could say that about Daddy George Bush. You could say that about a lot of politicians that say things, like I said, to get elected. You just have to wait and see, and you have to hope that they hold true to their word. And at this point, Trump is pretty well held his ground on these things. He's delivered, you know. I know he's got an uphill battle in Washington, D.C., but I think that this time around he'll be able to kind of swing things back the way they should be.
Well, I mean, I think the way they should be is up for debate. The way you want it and the way that it should be doesn't necessarily mean it's the same thing.
We're never going to be a communist country, Tim.
Nobody's trying to make it a communist country, though.
Okay.
That's just the boogeyman that you all point to. That's just the catchphrase that you all use. Nobody's trying to make it a communist country, but trying to make things a little bit more equal across the board isn't communism.
Everything is equal across the board.
No, it's not. It's easy for you to say that as the person that you are and the advantages that you've had in life. But other people haven't had the same opportunities that you have.
Huh. Okay. Here I am laid off. I don't have a car.
Well, and those are your choices. Yeah. Those are your decisions, right? Pull yourself up by the bootstraps.
Okay. But that just applies to me. That doesn't apply to anybody
else. No, I'm using your own logic against you. You're the one that's saying that there's opportunity there for everybody. So why are you in that position? There's plenty of work out there. There's plenty of cars available on the car lots.
Right. We all have choices. We are all equal. We have that opportunity, each and every one of us. No, we're drifting off topic here. I'm going to go back to doing my YMCA dance and.
All right, you go back. You go back coffee. To looking silly. Enjoy the inauguration. Have a good one. All right. 508-996-0500. Let me take a break here. We'll be back in a few moments. It's the night. Time to fly to. In the night. No control. Through the wall. Something Welcome back in. 508-996-0500. App chat and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. And let's see. I have not been updating the app chat. I was actually pushing out a story for Fun 107 because I've got to multitask here. I have a lot of different things that I've got to do, even during the hours of this show. And I don't know that necessarily the folks at Fun 107 understand what it is that I do. Because they're like, oh, I've got a story done. Can you get that out as fast as possible? Like, hold on. I'm actually talking, doing a show. But they got some big news coming out of Gazelle today over at the MGM show on Fun 107. And that is that superstar comedian Matt Rife made a surprise appearance in Fall River last night at the Belmont Club. He showed up to a local comedy festival that was happening there and got up on stage and did an impromptu set. And I don't find Matt Rife funny. I do not. I've seen a bunch of his comedy, a lot of it on TikTok because that's how he became famous. I think he became famous more for being a good-looking guy than being a funny comedian because I just don't find him funny. I've never really laughed at anything that he said. But a lot of people do find him funny. And what I will say is he seems to be a really nice guy. Like, it's hard for me to dislike him, even though I don't find him funny. So, like, it's hard for me to be like, oh, this guy, why is he so successful? Like, no, he seems like a good guy. And one of the things that he is really passionate about since he moved to Rhode Island, and it's interesting because he moved to Rhode Island because he likes being around the people there. He likes the comedy scene. He likes being able to live out in the country to some degree, out in North Smithfield, but still being relatively close to the city. I mean, he's close to Boston, close to Providence. Plenty of places to perform locally if he wants to just work out some new material. But he really wants to be involved, it seems, in the local comedy scene. And he keeps showing up at different shows and is, you know, happy to get up on stage and do a few minutes when he's there. And that's pretty good because that means a lot for the local comedians that are performing at these shows because it gets them more exposure. So, again, I don't really think that he's funny, but I think he deserves all the success that he's having. 508, and I kind of want him to buy the Conjuring House at this point. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're next on WBSN.
Hey, good morning, Tim.
How are you?
You know, maybe you should have Matt Noyce from NECN instead of ABC.
Well,
they're not reliable.
Yeah, we have a partnership agreement with them, so that's who we get our stuff
Town
from.
Square.
No, us directly.
Oh, yeah? Well, mm-hmm. I think you should move on to better meteorologists.
Well, you can get your weather from other places, too.
Yeah. Well, I like to listen to WBSM.
I appreciate it.
I want you guys to get on the ball, that's all. Big game tonight, you know, with the inauguration. Can't forget the national title game.
Mm-hmm.
Number 8 ranked Ohio State Buckeyes. Record 13-2 versus Notre Dame, ranked number 7, 14-1. Going to be kickoff is at 7:30. And my coach, Marcus Friedman, is doing a great job. And the last time they went, the title game was with Brian Kelly, and they lost against Alabama. And the last time Notre Dame won national title game was back in 1988 against West Virginia Mountaineers. Score was 31-21, and the coach was Lou Holtz.
So do you have a prediction for tonight's game?
No, I don't, but I will say it's going to come down to the running game and up in the trenches. Both defenses are very good. It's who wins the trenches is going to win the game. And also the team that has the less turnovers. It's going to be a very good game. Might be low-scoring game.
And again, you said that's what time, 7:30?
7:30, yeah.
And where is that going to be broadcast?
I believe it's on ESPN, I believe.
Okay, yeah, so...
It's a big game.
I don't know...
I know because of, you know, Martin Luther King and the inauguration, it's kind of, forgotten, but it's tonight, big game tonight.
Well, I think part of it, too, is there's not a lot of college football fanatics in this area like there are in other places.
That might be the case. There's still people who love their college football.
Mm-hmm.
I like college football more than the pro football, tell you the truth.
And do you like college basketball, too, or?
Oh, yeah, I love college basketball, especially March Madness, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I think that you get a lot of people around here that get into March Madness, but they don't seem to be, like, huge college fans. Probably because we don't have a big college that's really competitive around here, you know?
Yeah, it's true. So, well, you got, you know, Boston College and...
Yeah, BC's had their years.
Amherst.
Rhode Island, you know, Providence had a few years where they were, you know, they've been a team that has drawn some attention, so...
We have the Providence Friars.
But it definitely...
Who are pretty competitive in basketball, you know?
Definitely hard to compete with the pro sports in this area. Barry just had an article about that, about just how overwhelmingly popular pro sports are in Massachusetts.
Yeah, big game tonight. Just thought I'd bring that by you and all the college football lovers. Can't forget that game tonight. Big game.
Appreciate it. Hope that you enjoy the game.
All right, Tim. Stay warm.
You too. All right, 508-996-0500. And one thing that I will say I've noticed is that there are more people paying attention to the college game recently, locally, and I think that, you know, the fact that we now have sports betting in Massachusetts plays a part in that, too. You know, I think you've got a lot of Notre Dame fans in the area for a couple of reasons. One, of course, we have a large Irish population, and people who didn't go there and don't have an alma mater to root for, they latch on to that because of their heritage, and, you know, that's totally fine. But I think it also helps, too, that the deal that Notre Dame had with NBC, where you could see their games on a regular basis, allowed people to get familiar with the team and allowed people to get familiar. See, I just don't like college sports. I'll watch a game and I can get into it in the moment, but I don't really follow it because part of watching sports for me is the frustration of when they do something wrong and being able to take it out on them. And I feel bad taking it out on college kids. Although now that the college kids can make some money, maybe now they deserve some criticism too. No, but they're still just kids. And it's a little bit different, you know, complaining about somebody who, you know, might have a couple of endorsement deals versus somebody who's making $100 million a year. But certainly, if you're going to watch the game tonight, enjoy it. I'll be watching Monday Night Raw on Netflix. But maybe I'll... See, it's hard. See, that's a thing. It's hard if you're going to be watching something on Netflix. And this goes with, you know, all these games that are streaming now. When you have games that are going to be on Hulu and Paramount Plus. And I was watching a little bit of the Buffalo game on Paramount Plus for a couple of minutes just to see like what the presentation looked like. And it's hard when you're watching a game in that. It's, you know, it's one thing when it's this time of year and it's the only football game that's on. But when you're somebody that wants to flip through and go back and forth from one game to the other, it's hard to do that when one of them's on streaming. And, you know, that's by design. The networks love being able to put these games on the streaming apps because they know that the people that are there are locked in. So it'd be hard while watching Raw on Netflix to, you know, go and watch something else and, you know, flip over to the game and then go back. So the good thing is I usually used to start Raw late. And then I would kind of fast forward through some of the stuff that I didn't care about because I still wanted to go to bed at a decent time. Now I don't have commercials on my Monday Night Raw, but I know the stuff that goes on when there is a commercial is kind of filler. And also, they don't have to go to 11 o'clock. They can end whenever they want to. Last week, they ended at 10:30. Now, I'm afraid this week, because people complained about it, they might go over it and go over 11. But I don't know. I don't know that I'll necessarily stay up that late. If that's the case, I might just turn it off and finish it tomorrow. I spent the whole weekend outside of picking my friend up at the airport, spent the whole weekend holed up in the house anyway, rewatching Twin Peaks as part of my own personal, you know, David Lynch marathon. And by the way, I know some of you might be busy at noon. listening to the or watching the inauguration. But at noon today, I'm sorry. My fault. It's actually 3 p.m. today because it's noontime Pacific. So at 3 p.m. today, there's going to be a 10-minute meditation for anybody that wants to do that in honor of David Lynch. And I don't meditate. I probably should, but I don't. But I think today I might do that. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Oh, I didn't realize that David Lynch passed.
Last week.
Yeah, I noticed one of the local theaters out here got Eraserhead, and I'm trying to think of what's the other one that's up. They're starting to do a little marathon for him. Yeah, that's a shame. We're going to find out tomorrow morning whether or not Trump is going to demand the FCC shut down all free speech in America. His cronies have got... he's got so many criminals that he's trying to appoint to manage America that he can't afford to get caught. And that crooked Supreme Court that says that he could send out Seal Team 6 to anybody else, to off anybody that opposes him, America is going to find out real quick whether this guy... not think too grim.
Well, I think he'll also find out real quick how much people are willing to put up with, too.
Oh, I know. Just like people set up a Kool-Aid stand, I've been thinking of setting up a stand outside one of his buildings. I'm the guy from California. And, piss on this wall $10. And he has a couple of buildings that we could make examples of.
I had a thought this morning. One of my shower thoughts when my mind wanders, and I was thinking, is it possible if the midterms don't go his way, and it's quite possible that's the case, if people are galvanized enough by what happens in the first 2 years or the first year and a half, it might not go his way. If that's the case, do you see him sticking around for the full 4 years?
Well, no, he's going to have to go skedaddle to live with Putin. But at the same time, the stock market, right after Election Day, the stock market started falling and falling big time. And now the bonds are doing the same thing. In historical terms, if you get a crook, when Richard Nixon got elected, when Ronald Reagan got elected, the Bushes, the stock market took real falls, and for good reason. Those guys were also fake conservatives, and they were working more toward criminality as opposed to, putting prosperity in the name of America. They were working toward the monopolies instead of small business. And so people would invest in bonds as a backup where the stock market might crash. You could invest in bonds. But now the bonds are also looking at, if Trump is going to put in some really heinous cronies, you won't even be able to trust the bonds. So look at the bond market right now. There's a lot of scary stories about bonds. So the way I look at it is if global warming is real, then we have to protect the environment at all costs. And we're going to have to do that without a budget, because Trump and his pollutant buddies, the Koch brothers and all of the others, the Project 2025 crowd are the biggest polluters in the world, and they don't want to get caught and they don't want to clean it up. And so we're going to have to clean it up without a budget, and it's saving our own lives at without a budget. And so he is going to have to spend tax dollars to make things dirtier. It's a horrible conundrum. And the idea that self-preservation is going to become against the law. So these guys have walked ourselves. When Trump got elected 8 years ago, the climate scientists said that the Earth had a tipping point and there was only 3 years left, and Donald Trump had just gotten 4 years.
Well, now we made it through that one.
Beg pardon?
We made it through that one. I got to hold you there because I got to take a break. I'm up against it.
Well, we're after the tipping point. That's for darn sure.
All right. You have a good day.
Yeah.
And caller, hang on. We got another caller on hold. I'll get to you as soon as we come back, but let me get this break out of the way. We'll be back in just a couple of moments. And back to the phones, 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Hey, good morning. I won't be watching the inauguration today. I wouldn't waste my time watching him get reelected. I think voters in this country have become increasingly stupid. And if they don't smarten up, it's just going to get worse. There'll be somebody worse than Trump to come along after Trump. So,
that's one of the things that I've wondered is does the idea of this Trumpism, does this Trump phenomena wane if that dynamic person isn't there? I don't think anybody else can carry the type of fandom that he does. So it's hard for me to look at like a J.D. Vance and say, oh yeah, he's going to be the guy next that will carry this wave. I mean, it doesn't mean he wouldn't get elected president, but I just don't think he would inspire the same kind of loyalty that people have for some reason for Donald Trump.
Well, I think what Trump has targeted the gullible people, and you can see there's a lot of gullible people out there, and they have no clue what they're getting themselves into. And then when everything, you know, when the crap hits the fan, everybody's going to be crying and whining. Like the two terms of George W. Bush, oh, everybody loved him. And then when everything hit the fan, they whined and cried.
I will say I was not a fan of George W. Bush as a president, but I like him as a guy. Like, I've definitely learned over the years that he's not the bad guy that I thought that he was. And I think that he was, you know, influenced quite a bit by those around him.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Trump's a weirdo. He's a liar, a con guy. I read a couple of books on him. All his life, he's just a con man, and he's good at manipulating people, and that's exactly what he's doing now.
He pulled off the ultimate con twice.
Yep. And when I hang up, some Trump call is going to call and say, oh, God this, God that. Trump's wonderful. Trump's God. He's not God. He's conning you, and you're going to pay for it.
All right. Thank you for the call.
Thank you.
And I can say for sure one group of people that's duped is anybody that's actually going out and, you know, thanking Donald Trump for saving TikTok over the weekend. That was all just an exercise in how gullible you may be. And kind of the whole thing has turned into a ridiculous exercise to begin with. But as I've been saying, you know, it's what we call in the pro wrestling world, a work. The whole thing was all planned out to make you feel emotion and believe it and buy into it and suspend disbelief in order to believe it so that he can come in as the conquering hero that saved TikTok for another 90 days. When in actuality, they never had to disable the app to begin with. They only had to take it down from the App Store. And I knew the minute I saw that it was being disabled and it mentioned Trump in the alert, I was like, oh, the fix is in with this. And I would like a little bit more clarification on the truth tweet, whatever it was that he put out over the weekend where he said, you know, that he envisions where the United States would have a 50% stake in TikTok. Do you mean a U.S. investor? Do you mean a U.S.-based company, or do you mean the actual United States? Because I don't want the actual United States being involved in a social media app. I don't want a social media app where people feel like they have the freedom to be critical of the government and elected leaders, which is why Trump didn't like TikTok back during his first term, because people were critical of him on it. I don't like the idea of the government owning something where they could then control what's being put out. That would literally be state-run media. But if it's a U.S. investor, I figured that would probably be what the end result would be here. I just don't think that the post was clear about that, and I think that was for a reason. I think that was to gauge the interest of just how much he thinks he can get away with actually having a state-run media. If you remember the first time he floated the idea of creating his own media network. Well, now he's partnered up with Elon Musk and seems to be partnering up with Mark Zuckerberg. And does he really need a media network anymore when people don't watch TV? He just needs to have social media in his pocket. 508-996-0500. We will be right back. And we are going to be going into the news in just a moment. When we come back on the other side of that, I've got some app chat messages we'll get caught up on. Room for you to get in there at 508-996-0500 or on the app chat or open line voicemails on the WBSM app. Don't